That's a blessing to have Elder Zach Guest with us this morning and his wife Judy. I appreciate Brother Zach's ministry. It's been going on now for, how long you been preaching, Brother Zach? 52 years. And I believe that God has blessed him to have not only an effective ministry at home, but even abroad in India, in the Philippines, and now going down to Nicaragua with his son Timothy. It's just fantastic. So I'm very thankful for Brother Zach. He's been like a father in the ministry to me, and I just thank the Lord for him. And I'm going to ask him to come and preach for us today. And so you come ahead, Brother Zach, and the Lord bless you.
I'm really glad to be here. I really enjoyed yesterday a lot. That was a spirit-filled ordination. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I really like to be three places today, but I can't. I love being here. I really do like to come to Shoal Creek, but I wish I was back home, too. I've been gone quite a bit. And also, I wish I was in Nicaragua. I want you to pray for the brethren in Nicaragua. I really believe God's going to establish an Old Baptist church there in probably about a year. We had a blessing. My son speaks Spanish well. I don't speak it at all. But we baptized three people in the Pacific Ocean down at San Juan del Sur. It was a sweet time indeed in the evening. And the sun was going down, and just those rays across that water were sweet. We had just a spiritual time. And I don't speak Spanish, but I've been in touch, but you hear those guys pray. Padre, that's Father, and Señor is Lord. And just hearing those guys pray just touched my heart. But, you know, it's going to be good to get to heaven one of these days. We want to be separating. We'll be everywhere at the same time. Amen. What I want to do today is preach on something I preach on a lot of times. I may even preach on it here, but I want to apologize for that because I got some new insight, new light on it. It's heavy on my heart. And also, this morning when I looked at Judy's phone, on her top of her phone, she had this text on there. So I thought, well, God, maybe that's a sign. I want to speak from Isaiah 26:3-4. And I hope you'll be praying. And I just want to be sincere about this. I want you to, I'm preaching. The Lord used me to preach. But I do not want to get in the way of the message. I want you to look at God, don't look at me. One time there was a man named Avery Land, a very colorful preacher up in East Tennessee. He talked about that donkey that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on. And, of course, he made it a donkey type of preacher. And, of course, Jesus was Jesus. And he said, wouldn't it be a fool if that donkey had said, hee-haw, hee-haw, all these people came out to see me. They come see the donkey. They came see Jesus Christ. So the preacher is just kind of like a donkey. So I do know you got to listen to me, but I hope and pray to God nothing I say will distract you from the message I want you to get to, because that's what it's going to do is the message. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So that's one of my favorite texts. That's kind of the theme that my wife and I decided to have our life. We've been married now 50 years, and we thought that would be the theme of our life, and I hope it has been. So let me just kind of talk to you a little bit. Many things we can can worry us, and you can add to this list. I'm going to give you a list of things we can worry about. We have a real worry. We can worry about health problems. I don't have a lot of health problems. I got a few. The older I get, the more I have. Some of you got some real bad health problems. We can worry about financial problems. We can worry about loved ones, even those who live far away. We can't get to them. Sometimes we wish we could be there. We can worry about church problems. Sometimes there are church problems. We can worry about the approaching death of ourselves and also our loved ones. Government problems, problems at home, problems abroad, problems growing old, problem of the future. And don't say it out loud, you probably add to that. You'll get a lot of problems. And something Pink said, Arthur W. Pink, let me read this to you because it's certainly the truth. We see how things are going in our country now. It just blows my mind on how things are going around the world even, in our country also. And so Pink says this, but does not everything seem to show the devil has far more to do with the affairs of earth than God has? Ah, it all depends upon whether we're walking by faith or walking by sight. So if you're walking by sight, it looks like the devil's winning, but he's not winning at all. He's not even winning a battle, to be frank, let alone the war. But you got to walk by faith to really believe that. Amen. God's in control. God is winning even right now. And that was a great chapter of Titus. That fifth chapter of Revelation is a great chapter. The Lord got that book. He's given me that book. That's the book of history right there, by the way. He said, give me that book. And then everybody started going wild about bowing before him because he controlled history. Now let's look at that text now. So just stay with me, and I'll do the best I can. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. First of all, that perfect peace, I love that. Now, we have to go back to this time and again. So life is real. We have real hard times. We do get worried sometimes. We got to always go back to this text. And that's a promise of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That perfect peace, I like the way that's in the Bible, in the original. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I can look up words. And what that is in the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. That will keep him in peace, peace. The King James men did a good job translating that. But literally, that will keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I want to look at every one of those words for a minute. First of all, you can have peace, folks. Like, and the Bible even says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I like what one man said, that peace is better experienced than explained. You've all probably had that. In times it's not possible you have peace. Maybe facing death, maybe facing some type of terrible crisis. Maybe something wrong with the kids or something like that. And it's impossible, it seems like. But the Bible says, be careful for nothing, and everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And he said, the peace of God will keep your, that passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. God Almighty, give us peace in the calm of a storm, and does that. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. That word stayed now. See, that problem is sometimes we let the Bible run through our mind, just going through. You got to lock in on it. Stayed on thee. That word stayed comes from a Hebrew word. It means to lean upon or take hold of. You got to take hold of God. You got to lean on God. I really appreciate Brother Andrew Beecham, a young preacher. I heard a sermon the other night on my phone. And he's talking about how, depending on God, he said something that really touched me. He said, the smaller a child is, the more intrinsically, they know how helpless they are. Little bitty kids, they know they can't do anything. They're totally dependent on somebody else. And so what we need to do is get more and more like a little child. You know what we can do without God? If you spell it N-O-T-H-I-N-G.
Right.
Sometimes we don't realize it. Jesus Christ said in John 15, about me you can do nothing. Sometimes we think we can do something. We can't do anything without God. Our heartbeats are in his hand. Our breaths are in his hand. You ought to Google this sometime. I did it one time. It amazed you. If a person lives to be 80 years old, folks, they have over 3 billion heartbeats. They got over 76 million breaths they draw. And God bless you to have every one of them heartbeats, every one of those breaths. Because someday that heart's going to quit beating and you quit breathing. God's the one who sustains us. He knows the very hair of our head. He knows what he's doing. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, who's leaning on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Let me read you a verse from 2 Chronicles 32:8 to show what it means to be resting on God. I like this. It's 2 Chronicles 32:8. With him is an arm of flesh, with us is the Lord. This is Hezekiah talking. They were worried about the enemy. With him is an arm of flesh, with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And I like to, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. Friends, it's good to rest your words on, but rest our mind on the word of God. Isn't that good? They rested their minds on the word of Hezekiah. We need to rest our minds on God. That will keep him in perfect peace with his mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in thee. Let me read you a definition of trust. We need to learn how to trust God. We need to learn how to trust God. We had a song this morning we sang, talked about that, just thrilled my soul. We need to learn how to trust God. I heard of one man not long ago say, it's one thing to believe in God, another thing to believe God. See that? We all believe in God, right? But do we believe God? My father in the ministry, Haskell Wallace, on his tombstone has, I believe God. And I believe he did. Don't only believe in God, believe his promises. This promise included, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Here's what the word trust is translated sometimes, be confident, be secure. We need to be confident in God. We need to be secure in God. And I went ahead and looked up in a dictionary, an English dictionary, what does it mean to trust? Now, we're going to treat trusting in God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is locked on thee, whose mind is leaning on thee, because he trusteth in thee. What is it? Okay, are we going to trust God? what are we going to be doing? Here's the definition here, English definition. If I trust, it's a firm belief in the integrity, ability, effectiveness, or genuineness of someone or something. I'll read that again. And we're trusting God now. It's a firm belief in the integrity of God, the ability of God, the effectiveness of God, the genuineness of God. We're trusting God Almighty. We're trusting God. Now, here's what I want to do. And I've done this before, but I've got some new light on this and a new way of saying it. How are you going to do that? There's a way to do this. God gives a way to do this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, God, how am I going to trust in you? And here's how we do it. We're going to look at some of God's attributes. We're going to get down where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to give you some God attributes where we can trust in God. I'm going to read Psalm 139. Because I'm going to get two attributes out of, Psalm 139. That's a great passage. I would recommend to learn that passage. I memorized that a long time ago, many, many years ago. And it's just a great psalm. Now, let me tell you the attributes I'm going to talk about. I'm going to add one that I usually don't add. Here, if God will bless us, and want to hear what I want to think about. I'm going to trust God because he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. I'm going to add one. And he loves us. That's another. And another one is his immutability. He changes not. I want to look at five of God's attributes. This is practical. I want to get five of God's characteristics, five of God's attributes. But I'm going to get two of them out of Psalm 139. Out of Psalm 139, I'm going to get his omniscience. He knows everything. And his omnipresence, he's everywhere at the same time. And I'm going to say something about that the minute God showed me a new way to say that, that comforts me. I need to be comforted by my own preaching. Look at Psalm 139. Now, we're going to get out of this. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything, including the future. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me, David says. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprighting. And you do have downsittings, and you have uprighting, and God knows about all of them. Thou understandest my thought afar off. How about even your thoughts? God knows your thoughts. He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself, by the way. See, our hearts are deceitful above all things and deeply wicked, but God knows our hearts. He knows our motives. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. All my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows it altogether. He knows what I'm saying, why I'm saying it, my motive for saying it. He knows all that, doesn't he?
Yes.
And so this just blows David's mind. It'll blow ours also. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it to it. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
If we get to think about God, it just ought to really awe us. Whether shall I, now, can we get away from God?
No.
Can we get away from God?
No.
Whether I go, whether shall I flee from thy presence, from thy spirit, whither shall I flee from thy presence? Can I get away to where God won't know where I am or be taking care of me? If I stand up in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, go to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. You can't get away from God. We don't want to get away from God. If you want to, you can't do it anyway. Sometimes people backslide. Don't do backsliding. That's foolish. But God's going to get you. He's going to find where you're at. He's going to bring you back. Don't fight God. Some of you may be cold today. I hope you're not. Hope you're like Brother Pete prayed. God, let us walk close to you this week. We need to walk close to him all the time. And then sometimes we say, well, I just can't stand it. Things are so bad. It's so dark. If I say darkness, if I say surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. It does get dark sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes.
We got to be realistic. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. The night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both like unto thee. The first time I really got a hold of that scripture when my mama died back in 1960, I was 19 years old. And I thought, I can't stand this. And then if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And it was. I didn't think I'd make it without Mama, but I have made it for a long time. I'm 78 years old. She's been dead since she died in 1960. Daddy died in 1965 when I was 24 years old. I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I made it. By God's grace, you're going to make it also. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou covered me in my mother's womb. Even when I was in my mother's womb, you're there. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My friend, you ought to say that about yourself. You got a body and mind God gave you. Some of your body's not working too good anymore, but you still got a body. I will praise thee, he said. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. I feel sorry for evolutionists. They're fools. They're fools. They're just absolute fools. If you're one of them, just quit being a fool. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. I can't get into what all the body does. It's incredible what your body does. My substance was not hid from thee, as curiously wrought when I was made in secret and curiously wrought the Lord parts of the earth. That's why I hate abortion, because it's killing the baby. It's killing a baby in the womb. It's a murder, what it is. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In thy book, all members written, which are in continual perfection, but yet there's none of them. Then he got into a praise again. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with thee. He's just awed by God. We need to be that way also. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. My friend, there are a lot of wicked people in the world today. You know that. There's a lot of hatred going on in our country, even in it. Unbelievable hatred. Something looks like the people who are filled with hate are winning. But they're not. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and a lot of people speak against God wickedly today. Instead of fearing God, we're jeering at God in our country today. They speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them that hate thee, O Lord? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then he says this, and we ought to all be this way. I want to be close to God, don't you? I'm not as close as I should be. I've got to keep on trying to be close to God. I've got to beg God to help me be close to God. I need to ask God to show me, Lord, when I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. That's what David's saying right here. We ought to all do this. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Isn't that a great song? That talks about. Now, let me tell you how I want to say this. I hope you'll get this. This helps me anyway. It's real simple. All right. When I say God is omnipresent, let me tell you how I want to say that. God can go where you can't go. That's why I want to say it that way. Maybe it'll help you. You may have some loved ones that live a long way away. You can't go there, but God can go where you can't go. I kind of wish I was back in Nicaragua in a way. They had a service today. I was with the people for 9 days and fell in love with them. I can't go there, but God go. He's already there. Amen. So some of you may have loved ones in places where you can't get to them. I'm telling you, God can go where you can't go.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Let
me say something about God's omniscience. God knows what you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know everything about you don't know everything about anything. We judge people too much. There's a man in my church that had a really kind of a nasty personality. He was offending people. And so people kind of didn't like him, but he got to taking some medicine that reduced his pain. It changed his personality. We don't know what pain will do to us. When people are not acting right, let's cut them a little slack. They may be going through something. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know everything about nothing, do we? We cannot judge people's hearts. We have to judge outward actions and be a fruit inspector. We cannot judge folks. I've got to work at that myself real hard. So, my brethren, God know what you don't know. There may be something you can't understand. I tell you this all the time at Grace Chapel. I've said it here at Shoal Creek. I know I have. I said everywhere I think about it. God never did that say understand me, but he has said trust me. Why do good people go through hard times? We wonder about stuff like that. Some of the best people go through hard times. Why do people have these tragic things that happen to them? God Almighty controls everything, but he's not the author of sin. I can't explain that, but I believe that.
Amen.
And I trust God Almighty. It keeps me from going crazy. God knows what he's doing, precious friends. There's nothing out of our Savior's control. He's not the author of sin, but there's nothing out of his control. He controls things to a minute detail. He even uses his enemy against their own selves. You know what the devil did? Let me tell you, this is a good sermon. I'm not going to preach it. Jimmy will preach it sometime. He'll do a good job on this. When the devil put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ, he thought he did something good when Christ died, But let me tell you what happened when Christ died. The devil committed suicide.
Right.
That was that nail, that cotton picker right there.
Right.
He destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil committed suicide.
Yeah.
He thinks he's smart. He's not near smart than he thought he was.
Absolutely.
When Christ died, brother, that done the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He was after him for a long time. But when he got him, he didn't really get him. The Lord got him.
Yeah.
So let me say this. Omniscience means God knows what we don't know, including the future. I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. So don't be down. Young people, just enjoy yourselves. Don't worry about people saying, well, the good old days, they probably weren't all that good anyway. Maybe they were, so what? God put you here for this time. You enjoy life all you can while you're young. But you serve God. Don't give your energy to the devil. Give it to God Almighty. But kids, don't be afraid to live in the time we live in. You hear old people talking about how bad things are. And they are bad. So what? But God is still good. God is still control. God Almighty knows what we don't know. And God is omnipotent. All right. Let me give you another scripture on omnipotence. Over in Ephesians 3:20. You know this one. It's a great scripture. Now to him is able to do. What? To what? Let's look at these words. He's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. That's God. Sarah laughed down there because God said you have a child in your old age. God says, isn't anything too hard for the Lord? When Mary was going to have this baby, nothing impossible with God. Isn't that something? Omnipotent. That a word that I love in the Greek is, I just like to say it in the Greek even. Pantokrator. Pantokrator. You know what that means? The Almighty. The Almighty. Used 10 times in the New Testament. Most of the time it's translated Almighty. In Revelation 19, it's translated omnipotent. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God, the Pantokrator reigns. Our Lord is reigning, dear friends. We may be talking about transgender. We may be talking about bisexual. We all that nasty stuff. But God's reigning. He's running. And someday he's going to make all the wrongs right. You know, he's going to vindicate his children who are trying to stand for what's right. You're on the winning side if you're on God's side.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's the Pantokrator. He has all power both in heaven and in earth.
Yeah.
All right? So let me say this, the way I like to say that. He can do what you can't do.
That's right. Yeah.
I like that, don't y'all? He can go where we can't go. He knows what we don't know. And he can do what we can't do. Isn't that good?
Amen.
And my friend, here's the beautiful part. He's motivated by love. You can't express God's love. You can't express God's love. I think I can quote this. You could probably quote it with me. The first time I ever heard this, C.E. Smith, that great old preacher, some of y'all may remember, quoted this. I thought he made it up. He did. He got it out of a song. But I mean, I'd like to came out of my skin when I heard him say this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
Yeah.
That's God's love.
Amen.
You can't imagine how much he loves us. It's impossible. You're not lovable. So what? We are because of what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
He loves you because he loves his son and your children in his son. That's the truth.
Amen.
See, you have a hard time with that, and I do too. You know why? You're an Arminian by nature. Every one of you are. I am too. I've been preaching 52 years. I still have to work on this. If I can just do good enough, maybe God will love me. That ain't going to happen. My righteousnesses are filthy rags. But Pete, he loved me anyway because he loved Jesus Christ, his son. He loves you, my friend, more than you love yourself. I love my Judy. That's been my faithful wife for 50 years. But my friend, God loved me more than I love Judy. He loves you more than I do. A lot more. How you measure his love? I'll tell you how you measure his love. He loves his so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for us. God so loved the world, his precious children. He sent his son. He spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. How in the world can he please God to bruise his own son? Because he loved his children so much, that's the only way he can be consistent with his justice and still cause them to be saved by his wonderful grace. His love is amazing. You need to revel in God's love. He loves you. I know you're not lovable, but he loves you. I tell you what, he loves you more than you think he does. You know, when I fell in love with Judy when she was just a girl, really. I'm glad she married me. I'd have had a kidnapper if she didn't. But I was crazy about my wife. I couldn't wait to get married. My friend, I'm telling you the truth, Jesus Christ can't wait to get married to you. You're engaged to him right now. But you're going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're beautiful to him. He's made you beautiful. I could go to a lot of scriptures. I won't right now. Right now, my friend, listen. God loves you. We're going to have a great feast. He's our husband.
Yeah.
We're his beautiful bride. He made us beautiful. We'll have a love of feast throughout eternity. That's how much God loves us.
Yeah,
and nothing happened to you except it come through the filter of God's love. We don't understand that because sometimes we have hard times. But everything that happened to us come through a filter of God's love.
Yeah.
Oh, what a love. Listen, let me look what Paul prayed. And God wants you to know about this, by the way. I'm not overdoing this. Some people may say, oh, no, Brother Zach, don't talk too much about God's love. That's going to make people lazy. We got to beat them with a whip and make them be afraid to go to hell to keep them straight. That ain't right at all. The thing, my friend, that's God people, zealous is, they love him so much because he loved them.
Yeah.
Why do we love him? He loved us first. He loved us first. See, Judy didn't love me first. I loved Judy first. I petted her to death. Y'all feel sorry for her. I don't feel sorry for her because I married her. But I petted my poor wife. Debbie knows about all that. She knows those days. You know how Judy loved me? I loved her so much I just made her love me. She couldn't turn my love down. I loved her and 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 patiently waited for her. I wasn't very patient, by the way, but I still waited. But she loved me because I first loved her. The reason you love God, he loves you. And he draws you. You respond to that love. We don't love God because he got the big whip, Jeremy. We don't love God because he got the big club. We love God because he loved us.
Yes,
he's been good to us. That's why we love him. We want to love him more because he's been so good to us.
Yes.
Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. This is Paul's prayer that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Passeth knowledge. It's a big sea of his love. Just a big sea of his love. So he's motivated by love. That's another attribute. So let me go both. I've got one more to go. Let's go those four again. My friend, how can I stay my mind on him? Well, I stay my mind on him because he is omniscient. He knows it all. He knows what I don't know. Because of his power, he can do what I cannot do. Because of his omnipresence, he can go where I can't go. And he's motivated by this amazing love, this incomprehensible love. But I got another attribute I'm going to talk to you about. Bless your friends, he's immutable.
Yeah.
He's immutable. He does not change. This world changes. The song we sing about with me, change and decay, and all around I see. Oh, thou that changest not, abide with me. Kids, you'll realize that. My eyes not what they used to be. Other parts of my body not what they used to be. I've been living in the same neighborhood most of my life. A lot of stores have gone out of business. Miss Stewart's dead now. Berkshire Drugstore is gone. Berkshire Hardware, where the old Jew, Mayor Novak, we used to have a good time shopping down there. Old mayor's done gone, and this thing is gone, and the neighborhood has changed. I look at my dear friends, about even old Jimmy Fulmer got a few gray hairs in him. I thought he'd never get old. You know what I'm talking about? My friends, when a Judy tells me how old one of my grandkid is, I think she's lying to me. They couldn't possibly be that old. Change and decay, and all around I see. But oh, thou who changest not, hallelujah,
yeah.
Abide with me.
Yeah,
God doesn't change. We need something solid to lay hold on.
Yeah.
He's the rock of our salvation.
Yeah.
He's the rock of our salvation.
Amen.
He does not. Let's look at some scripture today. He doesn't change. I love Malachi 3:6. I'm glad God, I change, but God doesn't change. Sometimes I'm hot and sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I'm obedient, sometimes I'm disobedient.
Yeah.
If God's love depended on me, I'd be up a creek. But brethren, God loves me constantly with the same love all the time. Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Now, when you're disobedient, you may lose fellowship with God, but not relationship. Jimmy Wiggins, you believe that? God Almighty does not change. His love does not change. I am the Lord, he said. I'm Jehovah. I don't change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
James 1:17 talks about him. There's no variableness in a shadow of turning. Things change in the world, but God does not change. He's solid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What it said in Hebrews 13:8. All this is glorious. Jesus Christ the same. He's always the same. Yesterday and today and forever.
Yeah.
He doesn't change. That's Jesus Christ. He doesn't change. Look over in Hebrews for a minute. Chapter 1. This is touching. Hebrews 1. This is touching. This is a majestic chapter. All the Bible is great. All the Bible is wonderful, but I just call some chapter majestic. Hebrews 1 is one of those majestic chapters. Let's look at a little bit of this. He doesn't change, folks. You know, someday this world, listen, there's nothing stop. Have you ever heard of the Rock of Gibraltar? You know what's going to happen to the Rock of Gibraltar one day? It's going to burn up. You look at 2 Peter. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Here also, the thing that therein should be burned up. You hear that? It's going to be so hot this thing, that's what's going to happen. I'm not worried about man destroying this earth. God's going to get it. I preached in Arkansas one time, and I don't know why I don't ever do this. Well, I don't do much. I got on politics a little bit. I shouldn't have done that. I got on some of these extreme environmentalists, which I do believe in responsible environmentalism. And then the handshake, this old guy came and said, Brother Zach, let me tell you about that global warming. That global warming is going to cut the second coming of Christ. And he's right, that's going to be a global warming, all right, buddy. He's going to burn everything up. So we see things, Bill Gates thinks he got it made. I hope he's born again. I die if he is. But anyway, how much is he going to take with him? What about Warren Buffett? How much he going to take with him? All the movers and shakers of the world, what do they take with them? We have solid joys and lasting treasures. Only Zion's children know. Some of the poor people I've seen in India, they're so poor that they can't comprehend. They're rich in Jesus Christ. They have a wonderful, they have an inheritance laid up for them, incorruptible, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for them. Isn't that something?
Amen.
That's you.
Yeah.
That's you. Rich. And now, even now, you have that earnest of your inheritance. The Holy Ghost, when you feel the Holy, like we did yesterday, he's letting them know, I love y'all. I'm letting you have my presence today. It's a pledge of how it's going to be like when you hear this inexpressible joy that lasts forever. You're going to lose some things in heaven. Guess what you're going to lose? Worry. Lose doubt. Lose disappointment. Lose partings. Lose regrets. Lose weakness. You're going to lose a whole lot. I'm glad, aren't y'all?
Amen.
I'm glad. You're going to gain a bunch, but you're going to lose some stuff too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're not but one heartbeat away from there, so don't worry about things. You may say, I can't stand this any longer. God will bless you to stand that as long as he wants you to. He give you grace to bear it, then he'll take you home. He said he gives an escape route to his people. Sometimes that escape route is death. I told you this before one time, but I get tickled every time I think about this. My brother-in-law, Tim Cannon, used to pastor a little flock church up around Burnville, Mississippi. Had these two old sisters that lived together. They were so poor. And so they had their porch just falling apart, and they didn't have Micah to rebuild it for them. So anyway, they're just worried to death. What are we going to do about this old porch? They worried them to death. They go to the doctor. What I'm does? He says, you got terminal cancer. She turned to her sister-in-law. She said, well, I ain't got to worry about that old porch anymore. What are you worried about? My friend, this stuff's going to burn up someday. And instantly, in the presence of God Almighty, face to face with Christ my Savior. See, now the Bible says, whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But someday you will see him face to face. I mean a real human being, the God-man. You will look at him in the face, and he'll have a sweetest smile you've ever seen. It's going to send you into to euphoria, like we see in Revelation chapter 5. I'm not giving you a speech. I'm talking to you from what the Word of God says. And it's even better than I'm saying. I'm not saying it's good. I wish I could. Maybe the Holy Ghost will say it to you. We got it made, folks. I preached a sermon one time called, "You Can't Lose for Winning." The child of God can't lose for winning. I'll be with you all the way. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, one of the guys in the Nicaragua last week, he got excited about this when I told him this. Old Eliezer. In Hebrews 13, 5, there's a five-fold negative. Whoever wrote the song, High Firm Foundation, they caught that last verse. There's five negatives. Read that last verse for me, Jimmy. High Firm Foundation. There's five negatives here. That last verse, this man knew his Greek. He got the last verse of High Firm Foundation. Get these five negatives.
The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
You get that? That's five negatives. Hey, how strong is he going to say it?
That's right.
He's not going to forsake you. Not now. Listen, he won't forsake you in the life and not in death.
That's right.
The last enemy is death. But he's a beaten enemy. You know what all death can do is annoy you a little bit? He removed the sting. Let's say there's a wasp flying around, get the stinger. I don't have him stinging me. I might have an allergic reaction to it. But what if somebody pulls that stinger out? He can still bug me a little bit with those stinking old wings. He can annoy me a little bit. He ain't going to hurt me a bit. And my friend, God Almighty has already abolished death, the Bible says. He's abolished death, Christ, and brought life, immortality to light through the gospel. He's abolished death. Death's gone for a child of God.
Yeah.
Death is a blessing to a child of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yeah.
That's the last they'll ever have problems. We had a young man named David Wallace that should have been speeding, but he was on a gravel road down there in Mississippi. And he lost control and hit a tree. And it was so bad, he was so mangled in his body. They didn't know how many people were in there. Thought maybe more than one person. That's how bad he got messed up. He got killed instantly. I preached his funeral. And I remember what I said. I said, now, what I'm saying is not true for you who are left behind, but it's true for David. The day that David died is the best day of his life. Because that's the day he sees Jesus Christ. That's true in your life also.
Yeah.
That sounds backwards to the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My friend, not the day of your birth is your best day. The day of your death is your best day. Because you will never have any more trouble after that.
Yeah,
I'm telling you the truth. Let me look at Hebrews 1 now, on this immutability. This is glory. This is a great, great chapter. And it's God talking to God. It's really awesome. It's kind of like eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies. Look down in verse 10. We'll read two or three verses here. This is immutability. He does not change. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, the heavens are the works of thine hands. Get this now. They shall perish. I mean the universe. But thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. You can depend on God. He does not change.
Amen.
He does not change. And so, you know, y'all sang a song today. I call it myself, but I'm glad you sang it for me. And I usually raise my hands up like a charismatic, like Jimmy does every now and then. It's just great to do that when you feel it. But I love that verse, that song, Be Still My Soul. Here's the one that gives me goosebumps. Be still, my soul. The winds and waves still know. His voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Sometime in your heart, you have winds and waves.
Yeah.
I talked to a guy over in the Nicaragua last week. This old boy had been on a merchant ship, an old man. And he got in a hurricane on a merchant ship. And I tell you what, I said, oh, buddy, I bet you can really understand that a whole lot better we can when Jesus Christ said, peace be still. And he said that. Christ talked to him. He said, peace be still. And guess what happened? Instantly. The waves didn't keep rolling. See, it did not just the winds, the waves. In your heart sometimes, you'll have those storms. I'll tell you, our Savior's voice will say, peace. Be still. Friends, that will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in him is everlasting strength. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.